It's 11:43. We're going to reconvene this meeting. Sorry for the couple extra minute delay. On to item number 21. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to direct staff to proceed with the steps necessary to create a commercial property assessed clean energy program in Story County. Laura.
Laura Mather for the record. I want to start by giving a brief overview of the commercial property assessed clean energy financing program. And then I'll talk about identified benefits of the program and then some concerns that the staff has identified for the program. So the commercial property assessed clean energy financing program is available to commercial businesses and commercial residential businesses for clean energy projects. So in my staff summary that I provided, I list out the entities that are available to apply for those funds and then some of the funding projects that are available for funding. So the program originated in 2008. It was adopted by the state of Nevada in 2017. So the state is required to, if they so choose, adopt the program. That doesn't mean that then all counties and cities within the state are automatically in it. Each county and city will then need to adopt the program if they choose to. To this date, the following jurisdictions in Nevada have adopted this program: Reno, Sparks, Washoe County, Pershing County, Las Vegas, North Las Vegas, and Henderson. And I need to add one to my report that was submitted. Clark County has also implemented this program. So the CPACE financing program offers up to 100% financing for qualified projects for up to 25% of the project that is either used to retrofit an existing structure, up to 35% of that to improve a new structure or for a structure that's been completely gutted and redone. So the financing does not come from from state, local, or federal government. It comes from conventional lenders such as banks and credit unions. One of the benefits of the CPACE program is because if a CPACE loan is granted, it puts an immediate lien on the property. Because of this, it's a possibility for the companies to get a lower interest rate and a much longer period of the loan because that tie to the property. However, written consent is required for all previous lenders. So if there are any sort of other mortgage lenders or anything like that are on the property, they have to agree to a step back, and the CPACE loan would take priority along with any taxes to Story County. So Story County's taxes do not step back behind the CPACE loan. All other loans would, however. So the support that we have found for the CPACE program is the CPACE financing can provide cost savings for property owners to allow their companies to further their environmental, social, and corporate governance initiatives. Again, CPACE can provide up to 100% financing of the improvement costs and require no down payment. There are savings that are potentially generated from energy efficient improvements. And again, CPACE loans can be long term, ranging from 10 to 30 years. The CPACE loan is structured by the property and has a senior lien, as I mentioned, against all creditors. The senior lien can allow lenders to offer lower interest rates than what can be obtained through other unsecured or the traditional commercial lending programs. So if the commission decides to vote for the staff to proceed with this program, we would then contract with a program administrator. So the NRS allows for the city or county to be as active or not active in this program, meaning if we wanted to have total control over it, we would handle everything, we would collect, we would do the documents, we would do everything, or not. We could go with a third-party administrator. So the program administrator would create and manage the Story County CPACE website, would directly work with the applicant through the entire process, depending on how our agreement is, work directly with the finance company, handle all loan documents, finances, et cetera. The third-party program administrator is not paid by the county. They are paid through fees that are added onto the fees that the business is that applying. So the business that's applying for this loan is going to pay additional fees for the administrator to handle the program. The county would also need to designate a program manager. The county recommends designating the business development officer, AKA me, since that's what I do, to be the liaison between the program administrator and the program itself. So some of the concerns that the staff has identified about the CPACE financing is because if there are any unpaid CPACE assessments, they can create a senior lien on the property, which can add time and cost to this process. CPACE assessments can possibly limit refinancing options due to that senior loan. Properties that have CPACE assessments attached to them can be difficult to sell, as the new owner would have to pay off that loan or assume that assessment if it's not done prior to the sale of the property. And I think one of the big issues with county staff is, what are the unknowns? So what are the uncertain consequences, such as any conflict with the TRI Center development agreement, tax abatement programs, other state and federal initiatives, and any other possible issue that we just are not aware of at this time? Because things like tax abatements and all those other all those other programs are completely separate from CPACE. They don't talk to each other, meaning Clark County, for instance, they have had one company apply for and receive the CPACE loan. They believe that company did not receive any tax abatements or anything like that. With the other counties, again, because those two are not connected, we're not aware if any other business that accepted or received the CPACE loans had also any of the tax abatements or any of those other programs. One of the concerns that I had was how this was presented to me. So I reached out to a tremendous amount of people in cities and counties, and everybody has been so helpful, giving me all the information that I asked for. But my concern is I couldn't find anything negative about it. I couldn't find any risk. And risks come with everything. Risks come with everything. But that's part of doing business. That's part of life. The question is, does the benefit outweigh the risk? So I tried to do my absolute due diligence. So I got a lot of positive things from everybody that I talked to. And I was told a lot that there's absolutely no risk with this. There's going to be little effect on county staff on what our workload is. When I reached out to the cities and the counties that implemented it, they didn't know. And they said, you know, Laura, we don't know. So far, so good. So far, no problems. But either they hadn't had anybody actually apply for it, they had just one or two companies apply for it. So at this time, they just couldn't tell me if there were any issues with the program. Part of the appeal of the CPACE program is it stimulates commercial development where lenders are hesitant or where commercial development is lacking. So that's another question that we have to ask us. I can say confidently that development is not lacking in Story County. County staff, is Story County doing enough to recruit companies and to encourage success of those companies. County staff, we work absolutely tirelessly to make sure that we can uphold our SABID vertical promise to everybody. So far, as a reminder, companies located in Story County received over $1.3 billion with a B dollars in tax abatements. Another concern is because the loan is for extended a period of time and because technology advances so quickly, particularly with the green energy, is there a possibility that the technology will be, the useful life of that technology will be shorter than how long the loan for that product or for that upgrade is? Now, CPACE will not loan funds that are beyond the lifetime of a project. So, for example, solar panels. Typically, the life of a solar panel is 20 years. So CPACE is not going to loan funds for that are beyond that. But is there a possibility that a technology will come on the market that puts solar panels out of, you know, they're no longer needed? So with that, you know, I wanted to, again, give a brief overview, highlight the benefits of the program, but also highlight some of our concerns that so that the board has full transparency to make their decision. That's the end of my report, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much for that, Laura. I know that we asked you to come back with more information. I definitely appreciate that. Before I have my questions, Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I have no further questions or comments at this time. I am fundamentally opposed to moving forward with this. However, I certainly will follow my other board members' approach to the program. But I have been fundamentally opposed to this program for quite some time, and I haven't seen anything that would have changed my mind at this point. And so thank you for the comment, Tim.
Thank you, Commissioner. Excuse me, Vice Chairman.
I have just one question, Laura, just to make sure I'm absolutely clear. The extent of the county involvement in the program, putting aside any administrative paperwork, what have you, it has to do with the lien record preparation and recording. And what I'm trying to get just confirm is that we're not involved in payments, collection of payments through a taxing mechanism, any of that. That happens directly between the company and the lender.
That's correct. So the initial bill that was passed stated that the payments would be added to the tax bill. It would be a line item on the tax bill. And yes, it would have come through the county. However, that bill was amended. And so the county has the option of not doing that. And the financing would go directly between the lender and the company.
Okay. Thank you. Just to share a couple of my thoughts for my fellow commissioners, you know, the idea of adding a program like this as a mechanism for attraction of new companies is not a main driver for me. I feel like the competitiveness of what we offer already is stellar. I think it proves out that the approach that we've taken, the things that we offer in conjunction with the state level programs and things, I think it's completely sufficient. What is potentially a driver for me to look to support a program like this is, number one, accommodation for some of our current companies that say this would help them with expansion or to further their business. And secondly, looking at the broader picture and saying, do we have integrity? We say that we're pro-business, we're pro-development, that's our posture. And so is there a good enough reason for us to not add something that our companies or several of our companies are saying would be helpful for them? And so those to me are reasons to support it. And I'm kind of could go either way on this.
Any more questions?
No, I don't have any more questions.
All right. Laura, my question to you, and I apologize if you had mentioned this, you had talked about it, basically a senior loan being in place. So where does Story County fall on that list of getting paid?
We are at the top of the list.
We're at the top of the list. Okay.
So any taxes that are owed to us are at the top of the list. So we do not go to the back of the line.
Gotcha.
Like the other company, like the like mortgage companies and those kind of things. So anybody, any other loan to that would go to the back of the line. Story County would not. We would be at the top.
Right. Okay. The other question I had, and I think you did cover this, I just want to make sure I heard it correctly. So using a hypothetical, I have a company out there and I'm part of this CPACE program. My company goes bankrupt and I don't pay any of this off. The person that is choosing to buy the land after me, right, is going to have to basically pay all this stuff off. Is that correct? Before they could assume ownership?
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible in our case that I'm sure everybody's aware here, but land is at a premium at the industrial park. And so I would say one of my concerns would be that if a highly valuable piece of land gets locked up for some unknown amount of time, mm-hmm. To me, that's a concern that we couldn't turn around and get rid of that property to somebody, you know, if somebody else couldn't buy that property and then we'd start receiving tax benefits from that.
That's correct. However, with CPACE, because they limit the amount that they will loan, so they will only loan up to 25% or 35%, depending on the project.
Mm-hmm.
The proponents feel that that.
Excuse me, one second. For anybody wondering, that bell was to notify the miners that it's lunchtime. So in case anybody doesn't know what that was about.
So the argument is that that amount is going to be small compared to all the other loans.
Right.
Meaning that's another sort of push to allow lenders to give a lower interest rate or a longer period of time because the amount that they give is going to be small compared to everybody else that's in the line, if that makes sense.
It does. That was actually the second part of my question was, typically what are these dollar amounts? Mm-hmm. I mean, if they had a $10 million upgrade for windows, mm-hmm. for example, they would loan up to 25% of that project.
Correct. If it's a retrofit or up to 35% if it's a new building.
35%. Okay. I think my questions are good for now. I'm going to open this up for public comment. I want to remind everybody there's a 3-minute time limit for anybody giving public comment.
Before you do that, can I get clarification on just one thing?
Sure.
Thank you. You in trying to clarify options on a property that has a CPACE lien on it, Mr. Chairman, you'd mentioned that they would have to pay it off, but often these loans are assumable as well. Is my understanding correct on that? So there kind of would be two options. Either it need to be paid off for the transaction to close, or the lender would have to agree for it to be assumed as part of a new financing stack for the new person coming in.
That's correct. So the loan is tied to the property. So yes, it's very possible that an interested party would just assume that loan on the basis that they would be now owning the benefit of what that loan created.
Understood. Thank you.
I'm glad you brought that up. Does that actually create a bigger issue? Like what do we know what the average lenders, are they willing to get into a program like this, or we just have no idea? Like Vice Chairman was saying, mm-hmm. you know, they could assume that loan. Is that something, do we know, is that something that is?
So that's one of the negatives that we have identified is that there are certain lenders that will not partake in this because they don't want to take a chance that something happens and then they're at the back of the line for their payments.
Right.
However, if a company is applying for CPACE, before they can get it, all of the lenders have to agree. So It's my understanding that is one of the reasons why there aren't a whole lot of companies that have been able to take on this or to apply for this CPACE loan, because the other lenders have not been willing to agree to step back and be second or third or whatever in line. So the good thing is, if there is a lender that has a concern and they're not willing to sign off on it, the business does not get the loan.
My concern was more so another business coming to take over what is currently existing. Would their lender be willing to participate? Because I guess they have to assume that loan, the CPACE doesn't go away.
Correct.
Right.
So yes, the new lender would have to agree to that.
Right. Okay. All right. Are there any other questions from the board before I go to public comment?
No, thank you.
Wonderful. All right. So I'm going to ask, is there anybody with public comment in the courtroom? If there is, please come on up, start a queue up here. And if there's anybody on Zoom, I'll start keeping track of whose hands are up. I believe Shelby was first. Go ahead, Shelby.
Hi, commissioners. Thank you. My name is Shelby. I'm a manager at Living Green Capital. We're the nation's leading capital provider for commercial property assessed clean energy. Living Green Capital is working with several clients in Story County who would be eligible to apply for this program right away. And right now we're anticipating over $15 million in investment under this program if it were established. Without this program, these businesses will have to carry the burden of additional costs that would have otherwise been offset by providing this access to capital via CPACE. CPACE drives private capital investment for public benefit at zero cost to the taxpayer. And to date, CPACE has seen over $7 billion in private investment across the country, with $2 billion just from the last year. As Laura mentioned, there's no risk in CPACE, and this is by design. CPACE is an extremely unique financing mechanism, which uses existing legal structures for special assessments, which provide public benefits. We see this in situations of roads or sewer lines, but instead of utilizing public and taxpayer funds, CPACE uses solely private funds. And because of the lack of risk, CPACE capital providers like Nubian Green Capital are able to offer a lower cost of capital. Over the last 10 years that CPACE has existed, there have been fewer than 3 defaults, and delinquencies in assessment payments are extremely rare. Any delinquencies in assessment payments are managed by the CPACE capital providers themselves, who own the debt. In addition, CPACE capital providers employ thorough underwriting standards in addition to the safeguards established by Nevada law, including loan-to-value limits. Per Nevada statute, there's no risk to the government for enabling this program. All liability and risk lies with private parties providing and seeking financing. Additionally, there's no cost to government as required under Nevada statute. All costs associated with the program are covered by the financing obtained in an appropriate administrative fee. By establishing a CPACE program, Story County will enable property owners to obtain a lower cost of capital for their developments and lower their operational energy costs throughout the life cycle of the building, passing these savings onto their businesses. By unlocking financing for commercial properties, CPACE programs improve the local tax base and actually incentivize new development to exceed local building code, leading to long-lasting and resilient building stock. Nubian Green Capital expresses full support for the CPACE program and is ready to work with commercial, agricultural, and industrial property owners in Story County to finance their eligible projects. Thank you.
Thank you. You must have prepped that speech. You were at 3 minutes exactly. Wonderful.
Thank you.
All right. I did have a gentleman here. Did you have public comment? I believe you were second, and then I'll take whoever is next. Please just hang tight 1 second, sir. Break it again. Explain to me one more time.
There you go.
This one and then what?
That's the one.
This one?
Yeah, just that one.
And then?
That one. That one.
So this, that.
Correct.
Thank you. We'll figure this out one day.
Got
you ready?
Yeah, I'm Randy Sulai. I spoke to you to late your last session. And anyway, I am a principal of New Rise Renewables. We are one of a developer out in your Trick Park. We have expended upwards of several hundred million dollars in a renewable, sustainable aviation fuel plant out there in your park. We are seeking this CPACE loan. We are the ones that are asking for it to get started with you. We do have a primary lender on our project. It is called the Greater Nevada Credit Union. They are well aware of wanting us to get this CPACE loan. They are willing to consent, which Laura did a great job, I think, in explaining how a lot of that works. They will consent to what we're doing. We do have a facilitator that handles all of these documents for the loan. They are called Clean Fund. I think they're prepared to also give a statement here to you today. Also, they are one of the largest CPACE lenders in California. They've done several hundred of these, I think upwards of over 300 CPACE loans. They are specialized to the industry that we are in. It is a way that we can further develop, and hopefully everybody wants to develop in our world, these sustainable fuels or energies. They are difficult projects. I would have to agree with what Laura's being told is the lending on this CPACE is of no risk, but these projects are difficult and they are risk projects, and they do need some of these type of programs or lending programs to help us get them accomplished and successfully get them accomplished, and doing it in a manner that we can go ahead and avoid any risk to the county, any burden on the county because of our facilitators who do go through and do all these documents for us. We pay their cost to do it. It's nothing to the county to have to burden them with it other than the time we've taken up for you to evaluate it. So I really do hope that you'll maybe open up to what this is all about, give it a chance. I'm not saying that you can go back on it later on, but I do think at some point you may want to give this program a chance for the sake of these kind of projects and the success it's going to take to get them done. So that's the comments I want to make. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. I'm not seeing anybody else in the courtroom. All right. That's a raise your hand. I can't see your name from here.
John Kinney.
John Kinney.
Yeah. So I'm the founder of Clean Fund that is working with Randy, and I would thank Laura for the work she's done on this, and just understand Commissioner Gilman's concern here, because there is risk. When we say there's no risk, there's no the risk for the PACE financing is much lower, but there is risk because now the property owner is going to have an ongoing payment, just like they would have an ongoing debt payment. And the real risk, I think, is in the senior lender, because the senior lender is now letting PACE financing step in front of them. But as Randy said, these projects are difficult to get, sometimes difficult to get senior loans done. And at the rate that the borrowers want them. And so we're actually working closely with Greater Nevada Credit Union, which is the USDA lender on this project, to be sure that it is in fact increasing the value of the property. And as they convert from a renewable diesel to sustainable aviation fuel, there's going to be a significant increase in value here for New Rise Renewables Reno. And so the Greater Nevada Credit Union has said they're okay with this going in front of them. And in fact, they would have trouble making this additional loan because of the limits that they have. And it's just difficult for lenders to put more capital into certain projects. But this is going to allow New Rise Renewable to accomplish their goals and to do it on a real long-term financing. And if there is a property tax delinquency, what will happen is it will be a default under their mortgage, and the senior lender is the one that will step in and make the late property tax payment, because they will care about that. And so that's why it's a risk to the senior lender, and why it's so important to require that any PACE transaction must have consent by all the senior lenders that are on the project. So I really appreciate the time you're taking to evaluate something that I realize is a paradigm shift from typical lending. Clean Fund was the first company to do commercial PACE financing, and we're seeing it help a lot of people, and are looking forward to being able to do transactions in Story County to help your taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else on Zoom that has any public comment at this time? I see Pierre. You have the floor.
Hello, my name is Pierre Herring, and I am a CPACE finance broker. I actually am part of the team that introduced Randy's team to John's team. At a whole big thing I was going to say, but I think I just want to address the saleability of a property that has a CPACE financing attached to it. In my experience doing these loans, having a CPACE loan attached to a property has not affected its saleability. Any property that sold first had to be acquired, and capital is always used to acquire property. And CPACE is actually, when you compare the cost of capital with CPACE financing to traditional loans and equity raises, CPACE financing is a less expensive form of capital with lower interest rates and better repayment terms than some traditional loans that can have higher interest rates, shorter terms, and have a steeper impact on operating expenses. So equity raises dilute ownership, which can also be a much more expensive form of capital than CPACE capital. So with CPACE capital being a lower cost of capital compared to other forms of capital, it actually can help a property being resold rather than be a hindrance to a property being resold. Tied to that a little bit is some of the lender consent that's connected. Over 100 lenders nationwide have consented to having CPACE assessments on their property since the inception in 2009. More and more properties and more lenders are being open to this idea. And the burden of educating those lenders doesn't fall to the project owners such as Randy. It falls to the lenders and the brokers such as John and myself. So there's really no cost or burden on counties making that kind of educational or time injection there. So I'm excited about this. I've seen this help many projects that couldn't quite get across the finish line, as Randy and John have both spoken to. And it is my hope that you'll open your minds and see the benefits of this as being something that can be a benefit to your county. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anybody else on Zoom that has public comment?
Hello, this is Brent Wright with Brave Star Capital. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have been working with Pierre, John on this, and it's a big project you have here that's going to create a lot of jobs. I love your bold ideas of building a VADA tagline for your economic development. I think this is exactly a bold idea that would fit into creating more jobs in your area. So if I can answer any questions, let me know.
Appreciate it. Laura, I have a question for you.
Yes.
So when they say this is for a green energy project, is this for windows, or is this for the entire facility because they are in the green realm of business?
It's for both, yes.
Okay. So in theory, they could borrow $100 million to help build their facility.
If that was 25%.
You're correct. I'm simplifying it, but essentially it's not just for windows or.
Correct.
Sorry?
Solar panels.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you. Is there any other public comment that I've missed?
Chairman, if I have a couple of questions that came up, and if you'd allow me to maybe pose them to the folks. So And my first question that came up, you know, is related to something that Shelby said, and Shelby, I would welcome a response, or if there's someone else who feels they have a good handle on this to help understand. One of the things that was mentioned was that often PACE funding has a lower cost of capital. And I'm wondering if that is tied to using the special assessment mechanism, or in other words, is it less beneficial if we're not using that mechanism? In other words, we here have the option to not be involved in collecting as part of taxes as we would with a special assessment. Does the risk go back up, for lack of a better way of saying it, if we're not using that mechanism to collect? Does that affect pricing on this financial product?
Absolutely. So CPACE wouldn't exist without the special assessment mechanism. It is only because of that special assessment and the lien placed on the property that we're able to offer a lower cost of capital. So without it, property owners have to go to other forms of debt, such as mezzanine, higher commercial loans. The other thing that's different isn't just the cost of those loans, it's also the payoff period. So CPACE assessments last between 20 and 30 years, matching the expected useful life of the improvements that they're financing. Otherwise, commercial property owners would have to obtain traditional loans that are often around 5 years. So this not only increases their costs, but also creates more risk in their ability to pay off those costs in a shorter amount of time.
And for the record, that was Shelby DuPont.
Thank you.
I ask if anybody's answering a question, just please make sure you state your name for the record before you answer. Thank you.
Thank you. So it seems, if I'm understanding it correctly, we in Nevada are kind of in a unique situation, because there is an opportunity for us to opt out of using that payment mechanism, the lien or the additional security that comes with that lien in a senior position is still part of the program, but it's not necessarily a requirement for us as the county to use our normal collections as a method to implement this kind of financing. And I guess I'm just trying to wrap my head around the full impact of that piece. And I'd welcome, I guess, if it's all right, Mr. Chairman, anyone else who can specifically address that issue.
Yeah, I'd like to give Laura the opportunity first, if you feel more comfortable with somebody else answering it.
No, so you're correct. So we can opt out of that. Does that create any additional burden on the company or the lender? I don't know. Again, I think there are unknowns to this, but I would strongly recommend that Story County do not do that. If it was chosen, that it would go through our tax and be added as a tax line item. That's mostly, I'm guessing that's why, that's not a word. My understanding is that's why that bill was changed, because the bill was amended so that we can opt out of it coming through our taxes as a tax line item. I would imagine that creates a lot of complications. How do you pull it out? How do you, you know, get it to where it needs to go? So you are correct that Nevada has amended that bill and we can opt out of that. So we're not going to be in the collection business.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, because as you well know, it's pretty complex in that regard in many different aspects. So
this is Shelby DuPont.
Laura Mather for the
record.
Hold on,
Shelby.
I talked to Assessor Sneddon about this when this first came up, because I was trying to understand exactly how all that worked. And she agreed that her Assessor's Association was not familiar, in Nevada was not familiar with this program, most likely because most have opted out of doing that, of being in the collection business and adding, it would have been very, very complicated for her office to have that come through as a tax line item.
Understood.
Do you need a further explanation?
Well, but I don't need a further explanation, but I certainly think it would help, because to know a little more, because if what that means is this financing is either harder to get or more expensive, that mitigates the benefit that comes through. And so I want to have a pretty clear idea of, if that's the direction we're looking to go, I'd like to know from people who are more familiar with kind of the underwriting side of things, if that makes it less helpful, if you will.
So Laura Mather, for the record. So it's my understanding that if it does not come through our taxes, it does not increase the cost. Because if it did come through our taxes, Story County would be able to add a fee to help cover those costs. So there would be that fee regardless of whether it goes directly from the business to the lender or if it comes through our taxes.
Sure. And maybe to be clear on when I say cost, I'm really talking about interest rate as opposed to like a processing fee, because from an underwriting perspective, there may be more perceived risk. And that's really where my question lies. And I think that may be something that those in this sector may be best equipped to answer, but I could be wrong.
So Laura Mather, for the record. So yes, the lenders would probably be best to answer that question. It's my understanding that it's the lien that is what helps secure it and keep that interest rate low, not how the payments are made, but they probably could best answer.
Thank you.
Shelby, did you have something to add into what Laura has already mentioned?
Yes, thank you, Shelby DuPont, for the record. And confirming what Laura said, so who collects payments does not affect the interest. It is only the levying of the special assessment itself. Across the state of Nevada, all other programs have opted to delegate responsibilities for billing collection and enforcement of the assessment to capital providers. So all capital providers themselves manage that collection process in Nevada.
Thank you.
I had just one other question that actually arose from something that John said, you know, and several other commenters. You mentioned that sometimes it's difficult to get these projects done or over the finish line. And I'm just hoping to understand a little better what contributes to this. Is it endemic to this industry? Is it a lack of financial strength in sustainable projects? Is it regulatory risk? Is it that we don't have a lot of history on a lot of these sustainable improvements that are being put into place? Just curious if John, you can shed any light on that particular aspect of why we have trouble getting across the finish line, if it's specific to these projects, or if it's just a general condition that it's helpful to have another financing source in place.
Sure. This is John Kinney with Clean Fund. It's really more a function of the banking industry currently. Commercial real estate lenders are just having a tough time on especially new financing. They tend to be lending as a percentage of LTV, and the percentage that they're willing to lend has gone down pretty significantly in the last 4 years, partly because V has gone down as well, since in many cases the commercial real estate is worth less, partly because tenants are paying less, you know, particularly in office and things like that. So it really depends on the asset class that we're talking about, but PACE is focused on being able to go a little further than you might otherwise need to otherwise go. In the case of New Rise Renewables, you know, they're able to move over to a much more valuable product using sustainable aviation fuel, partly because the Inflation Reduction Act changed the subsidies that were available for one versus the other. And they didn't anticipate that in their first financing. So now they need additional financing, and they were able to get some financing to do that. But with the PACE, we're actually refinancing that money that went in. So it's just making the project safer for Greater Nevada and for Randy as the owner and equity players.
Very good. Thank you. That's helpful. Well, those are my questions.
Okay. I'm going to ask again, is there any other public comment? At this time, Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
I am, Mr. Chairman, and certainly with all respect to Commissioner Gilman's hesitancy or opposition, I think I'm satisfied that I'm comfortable with the level of risk and complexity that a program like this provides. I don't love it, especially with the other things that we offer and how complex those can get, especially with a small organization. But I'm comfortable making a motion to approve.
Okay.
And so with that, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve staff to proceed with the steps necessary to create a commercial property assesses clean energy or CPACE program in Story County.
I'll second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
All right. Moving right along to item number 22, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the updated Story County nonprofit application for program support funds.
Sarah Sturtz for the record. So given the increased interest in applying for the Story County's nonprofit support funds, I'm recommending that we place a cap for the next fiscal year for this programming. So it'll be capped at $1.1 million for the fiscal year 25-26. And to anticipate the potential that there's going to be more asks than we have funding available, we're going to start doing a more like scoring system, and that was included in your packet today. And the amount budget for this program, we can review and update it on an annual or biannual basis as needed. And the county is going to post this notice of funding opportunity on October 1st. And again, that'll be for the next fiscal year.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman.
Hi, sir. I have two questions. The first one, how does this amount relate to what we awarded in the last fiscal year?
So I believe we awarded $1 million last fiscal year, so we added $100,000 to that this fiscal year.
Thank you very much. And then my second question has to do with shifting to a little more of a competitive nature in the applications. Is the intent of that or the how we perceive that it may be applied that that it would potentially reduce individual asks or that it would potentially disqualify a requester in applying that scoring system?
I believe we should have had a cap all along, or else if you start getting all these applications in and we're denying them, it could be seen as arbitrary and capricious, like denying these applications. So we have to develop a more formal process for these applications. And if we need to increase the funding based on the ask, we can do that. But we're kind of putting ourselves in a kind of a sticky situation if we don't develop this process with more nonprofits moving into the area.
Yeah, thank you. And I totally understand that rationale. I think it's a good idea. I guess I'm just trying to understand the impacts if we max out and then need to adjust for the future year, but in a current year, if there are more requests than we're able to handle, do we see a more likely situation being we would potentially limit the amount that individual requesters would receive, or that we would deny a requester potentially? Is that making sense?
So you're trying to understand how the committee would review these applications and how much they would be awarded for them. Like say we got what, 2 million in asks, and we only had 1.1 million. Maybe we, and this all depends on the committee because I'm not making these choices on my own. It would be maybe we can give this organization a little bit less than they asked for and see if we can meet them where they're at given this funding, or maybe they don't get it at all. I don't see that happening. I don't think the committee will choose that, especially since this is new, but that could be something. Does that kind of answer?
Absolutely. So you're seeing a range of options on the table as far as how to deal with it if more asks came in than we have. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, are you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the updated Story County nonprofit application for support funds.
Second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 23, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval for the county manager to sign and approve the Dowell Amendment to the Lead Siphon Phase 1 Project, accepting Dowell's 2024-2025 fee schedule. Sarah?
So again, Sarah Sturz for the record. So the lead siphon phase one project, that's funded by a principal forgiveness loan, and that's the Nevada Department of Environmental Protection, or NDEP, and that's their state revolving fund program. And so Kyle Casey from NDEP let me know that we need to formally add Dow's fee schedule. Dow's our contractor for this project. We need to add that fee schedule for their 2024 fiscal year to the existing agreement we have with them so that NDEP staff can adequately review and approve the county's draw request. They basically just want to make sure what Dow is charging reflects the fee schedule.
Well done.
Yep.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Vice Chairman.
I'm good. Thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
Yeah. And Commissioner Mitchell moved to approve the county manager to sign and approve the Dowell amendment for the lead siphon phase one project, accepting Dowell's 2024-2025 fee schedule.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Sarah. On to item number 24, this discussion for possible action, consideration and approval of the emergency management director to remove the A Street slope failure damages from the 2023 storm damage project claim with FEMA and other properly related matters. Adam?
Good afternoon now, commissioners. Yes, this is from our 2023 storm damages. We had multiple damages across the county. Based on FEMA's own internal policies, they group some of these projects together in order to make sure we hit minimum thresholds for costs. So in this project, we have Taylor Street, A Street, and B Street damages that are all individual damages that were grouped into one project. The one we're specifically looking at is that A Street or slope failure. The amount that FEMA has estimated our reimbursement would be $77,131.51, of which they would pay 75% of that cost back to the county. In meeting with Jason and Mike at Public Works, it is their opinion that this project is not a priority to the county and that the reimbursement is not necessary for us at this point to complete that work. The biggest impact that we're running into is we are on a time schedule of we have to have all these projects 100% work completed by October, and we're already not going to have that done on this project. So we're applying for an extension to get the higher priority B Street project done. However, we just are not going to have time to get A Street done, and given the reimbursement rate on that and that Public Works feels fixing that is not a priority to the county, we would like to remove that. So we can move ahead with the remainder of those projects. B Street's looking at $187,058.99, and Taylor Street is $155,678.40. When you look at it in that lens, it's not worth risking those other two reimbursements for the smaller one. And I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Adam. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
I have no questions. Thank you, Adam.
Vice Chairman?
Adam, my only question has to do with Taylor Street. I seem to remember there was some in and out and what have you. How did that land?
So we are still in progress on that, but we were able to finally find a middle ground. Huge thanks to Sarah for helping us navigate some of the behind-the-scenes Section 106 and Secretary of Interior standards. So what they're seeking on that project now in order to get us into compliance is to have a subcontractor through Dow design. It has to be an architectural historian or engineer certified under Secretary of Interior standards to design a plaque that just articulates what was at that site that is now no longer visible. It's not having to be anything where the county is accepting fault for burying those ruins because they understand that was a necessity in order to support Taylor Street since that building is gone. So we're working with the VCTC, and Dowell's going to hire that subcontract position within the standards, and FEMA has approved subcontracting that. So we are moving ahead quickly with Taylor now. We'll just need to get that plaque that describes the old Black and Howell building at that site. And we are applying for an extension through the state for 6 months to be able to get that completed and get the B Street damages behind Red Dog Saloon completed in time.
Very good. Thank you. That's my only question.
Okay. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Seeing any, Vice Chairman, you prefer to make a motion?
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell moved to proceed with the approval of the for the Emergency Management Director to remove the 8th Street slope failure damages from the 2023 storm damage project claim with FEMA and other properly related matters.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Adam. On to item number 25. This is discussion for possible action. Discussion and possible consideration to approve Story County revisions as built submittal guidelines outlining the process and associated fees for submitted construction plan revisions and as built construction submittals. Pete.
Pete Reneau, Director of Community Development. This item is a mirror of item 18 for the fire district today. We just want to be on the same page, consistent with our fees with the revisions.
All right.
Any questions?
Yeah. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments for Pete?
I have no questions, Pete. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
Good, thanks.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepare to make a motion?
Yeah. Commissioner Mitchell moved to approve the revision as built submittal guidelines for implementation.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Pete. All right, on to item number 26, this discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval directing county staff and lobbyists to scope interest of the Lockwood community and other stakeholders, and as appropriate, prepare a legislative bill, seek a sponsor, and submit to the sponsor or the legislator or the legislature a bill enabling Story County and Washoe County to cooperate in the transfer of approximately 6 acres of vacant land located at 10705 Lockwood Drive. Washoe APN is 084.080.15, situated approximately between Lockwood, Rainbow Bend, and the Interstate 80 from Washoe County to Story County, in accordance with Chapter 3 of the Story County Master Plan. County Manager?
All right, thank you, Board. Commissioners, Austin Osborne for the record, County Manager. So I'm going to describe a little bit of history and a little bit of where we are. And ultimately, we are asking for direction from this board to take some action that may result in different finalities. That's kind of what we have here in front of us today. So there's a parcel of land immediately north of Lockwood across the Truckee River. It's about 6 acres. It's flat. It's been a little bit of a nuisance for a very long time as far as junk being parked on it, and nobody really knows what to do with it. And it's located in Washoe County. So Story County has really no control over it, and Washoe County has a hard time controlling it because it's isolated as it's sandwiched between the interstate and the Truckee River, and maybe about 4 miles or so east of Sparks and really of any developed area of Washoe County. So it's kind of in a precarious position. So the properties remain vacant for a long time. And Story County, when it developed its 2016 master plan, spent a lot of time with the Lockwood residents asking them, what would you like to see happen to that property? You know, nothing is probably not an answer, but something, what would you like? And overwhelmingly, the community asked for our master plan to recommend that county look at Washoe County and getting that land transferred over to Story County so that it would be within our jurisdiction, and then we could zone it appropriately, work with the property owners. They've changed over time and try to get it to be developed with something that might be consistent with the Lockwood community, which in this case would be abutting right up against the Rainbow Bend residential community, as well as the Truckee River. There are some transportation things that are also discussed in the master plan. There's some precarious logistics as you drive up a ramp going to the interstate, where currently there's already truck traffic coming out of several industrial or commercial uses in Lockwood. And, you know, the kinds of things that go on is residents have to stop, let a truck go by a sharp corner, wave, and then, you know, hope everything turns out okay. And it's not an ideal situation. and having this property out of our control and potentially ending up as an industrial use could expand these issues. So time has gone by, and most recently, the owner of the property had reached out to Washoe County for a master plan amendment, changing the property from currently where it's rural general, which basically, if you look at the definition in Washoe County, is river restoration, similar to Story County's natural resources. It's really meant for nothing, or virtually nothing. And he wants to change it to a portion of it to be industrial, light industrial, and a portion of it to be open space, the open space being along the Truckee River. So when that application went in, our planning department, at the direction of us, had submitted comments to the Washoe County Planning Division stating that we're not against this parcel being developed. We're not trying to be obstructionist to the property owner, but we have some concerns here. And the uses that are being proposed that would be allowed by the new zoning are additional trucks. And it looks like in their report from the applicant that it could be upwards of 100 more trucks. It's either a day or a week. I don't remember. Let's call it a week for the benefit of this conversation, which is substantial. And then the type of use is dock doors, and it would have lights and all the kinds of things that would go on. And this would be butting right up against Rainbow Bend. And there would be lights and noise and slamming doors and truck traffic and beeping and all those kinds of things. And then somewhat concerning to the Lockwood community also is a proposal to park trucks and trailers along that open space area along the Truckee River, because they're not allowed to build on that in Washoe County. So really all they can do is park equipment there and, you know, call it the best use they can. So we're not against the applicant wanting to use his land. That's not really what this is about. But we did submit to Washoe County through our planning department, Kathy's group, that we have some concerns about this. At the same time, I had submitted, after getting direction from the board, a letter to Washoe County Manager Eric Brown, as well as his team, to explain that please see the attached correspondence from our planning department submitted to your planning department. Additionally, we have opposition to the uses that are being proposed. We're not against you all looking at creating viable uses for this land, because we don't want somebody to be disadvantaged. He has a right to use his land. But we have an alternative. Mm-hmm. And I attached our master plan check to it with maps and a couple of supporting documents, and said we'd like to engage with you, Washoe County, about potentially a trade. Move the land over to Story County through a legislative action, of course, would be required. And then we would pledge to do something in master planning and zoning and even ultimate entitlements that would allow the use to be something economically viable, and not just open space, not to be heavily economic development oriented. And then to focus even on, we want to talk about residential. We talked about residential uses with our community in 2016. We've talked about it informally since that period of time, and even most recently been dropping word to community leaders in Lockwood is, again, nothing is not an option. It's not about Bambi. That is not going to be the most beneficial land use for that area for the person who owns it. But we're willing to discuss maybe some residential that might fit on that parcel. It's about 6 acres. We're not talking about a large, you know, this isn't going to be Del Webb, you know, but this would be potentially a fourplex or two or something of that nature. Have communicated with the Canyon General Improvement District, and I'm not speaking for them, but there may be some benefit to them in having more hookup fees, and even a little bit of moving water and sewer around, and having some sewer benefit as well. And to the property owner may benefit also for being able to hook up to that adjacent utility, as well as working with us. At the same time, I did reach out to the property owner, was able to reach him once, talked about this whole picture, and he indicated to me, he says, I still want to work with Washoe County to see if he can get his master plan amendment done. Since that time, that has not been successful. He got a full unanimous denial from the Planning Commission. At this point, I understand he has until August 25th or 26th to appeal that to the County Commission. Since that period, he hasn't had a lot of engagement with us. I have sent him, I believe, 3 phone messages and 4 emails. I understand that he's trying to work some things out with Washoe County, so not upset with him, but I've reminded him we have some deadlines here. We're going to work together. in our initial conversation, he indicated he was interested in the proposal. He said Story County obviously is very easy to work with. He acknowledged that. He says, I could probably get a permit from you guys in a couple of days or a month if it required some master plan work. Agreed. And talked about the GID, talked about utilities, things like that. He said he's having a hard time with his jurisdiction because of the way this position, the parcel's positioned. It's just, it's interesting. It's an island, you know, on its side, but not necessarily on our side. So he said, I'm interested in it. But since then, he's been trying to work with Washoe County and trying to get things done. So at this point, what we're requesting is a bill to direct staff and our lobbyists to create a bill and to find a sponsor for that bill. We've already used our bill for the SB1 adjustments. This would be a second bill that we'd have to find a sponsor. But we want to ask that whatever action is taken is enabling. It's very important that we don't want to force this on Washoe County. We really don't want to force it on the property owner either. We would rather have a bill that goes through the legislature, is submitted to LCB within deadlines, but it allows the applicant, the owner of the property, Washoe County and Story County, and our team to continue working together. And if we can come to a mutual agreement, then the bill hopefully would pass. And then Washoe County could take action to accept or deny the action. And if they denied, it would be over. And then work with the property owner doing the same. And that Story County could do the same. It would be enabling, similar to legislation we did in 2017 for a property, I think it was 2017 or 16, for 600 acres of property over by Patrick, where both counties were able to take final action. So at this point, I have also reached out to county manager's office from Washoe, and I'm getting a similar feeling that he's working with his team. He's interested in talking about it, but Washoe County has not taken any official action yet at this point, as I think they're still trying to work with the applicant and navigate through some things as well. So if this board does decide to move forward on this, what would happen is we continue reaching out to the property owner and Washoe County. And then also this Thursday, there's a town hall meeting in Lockwood to talk with the residents about this. And at any point, if Washoe County doesn't want to do it, the Lockwood residents run us out of the room Thursday night, they don't want it, or the property owner resists substantially, that we could say, all right, we're not going to move forward on this, then, you know, we'll bring it back to the board. But nevertheless, we could drop it and it would become a moot issue and continue to be in Washoe County's hands. So at this point, I have as much time as you want to discuss this. There are a lot of moving parts to this. We also need to meet with a couple potential sponsors and just be honest and forthcoming with them. This is what it is. It's not perfect. Would you be willing to sponsor it under the circumstances? And of course, subject to this Thursday's Lockwood meeting, which the master plan suggests that we put a lot of the weight in the decision on the people that are affected there. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments?
Comment is, I believe that it's timely that we as a county move forward on something and resolving this particular product and project. I think we're all very familiar with it. It's a favorite place for campaign signs, I think, for over the last years. But certainly it's an island, if you will, that is pretty much removed from utilities or any interaction with Washoe County specifically. And there's going to be a dramatic impact on what happens in our Lockwood community. I think it's very important that we engage to the very best of our ability to have interaction with Washoe County, the landowner, and certainly to support our Lockwood community in this issue. So I personally support anything that we can do to enhance our involvement and to hopefully affect the outcome for this property. So I appreciate our county manager's clear understanding and explanation. And it would appear to me, I was involved in the 600 acre transfer that took place with Washoe County at the Lockwood interchange or the Patrick interchange. And I know that it can be a rather simple process. I think we did that in less than 30 days. So there are options, there are avenues, but I think it's important that we stay engaged. And that would be my approach to my fellow commissioners.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chairman, do you have any comments?
Not really, no. I think the idea has merit.
Agreed. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I am. So I can get back to the right page here. All right. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to direct county staff and lobbyists to scope interests of the Lockwood community and other stakeholders and, as appropriate, prepare a legislative bill, seek a sponsor, and submit to the sponsor or to the legislature a bill enabling Story County and Washoe County to cooperate in the transfer of approximately 6 acres of vacant land located at 10705 Lockwood Drive, Washoe APN 084.050.15, situated approximately between Lockwood Rainbow Bend and Interstate 80 from Washoe County to Story County in accordance with Chapter 3 of the Story County Master Plan.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin. On to item number 27, this discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of business license second readings A through S. My fellow commissioners have any questions or comments about the second readings? I'm not seeing any. Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, you prepared to make a motion?
I am. I move to approve the second reading of business licenses listed under item 27 as A through S.
Second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 28. This is the second and final time for public comment during this board meeting. Is there any public comment today? All right, not seeing any, that brings us to item number 29, which is adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 12:55 p.m. We're going to call this meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone. I do want to note that we do have closed session, so please evacuate the courtroom at your earliest convenience.